We sent off yesterday morning another mission team, second team going to, down to Warr, West Virginia, to continue work on the house that they started in, the previous group started on. And they arrived. Aaron and his family are there, and Barry Heps and Brandon Cole is Hurst. And today, Deb McKenzie and Brad Shaw will be going down there as well. So you'll be there for a few days and finish that house. And so let's keep them in prayer as they serve. And then Men's Fellowship event, Saturday, August 25th. It's at Dick Dwyer's house, Richard Dwyer. And from 11 o'clock in the morning to 3 p.m., and so all men are invited. They have a big swimming pool and be playing some pool and hitting golf balls. He made a tee box, and you hit off the tee box into the valley below their house, and there's a little green down there. So sounds like fun to me. The 25th, Saturday the 25th. Lord, take what I've prepared and use it for the building of this church, the building up in faith, the building up of us in love for you and love for one another. In Christ's name, amen. This will date me. I thought about an old beer commercial, and some of you who are younger probably don't remember this, but a bunch of guys sitting around a fire, or I don't even remember what they were doing. They were either sitting around a fire or playing on the beach. Whatever they were doing, I don't remember exactly, but I do remember their line. They say to one another, "It doesn't get any better than this." Remember that? It doesn't get any better than this. Now, I've been in a lot of fun situations with friends when I've thought and said that same thing. It does not get any better than this. Well, how does that go with the two verses that from 2 Corinthians 4 that concluded the message last week? I just want to put those up to begin with. 2 Corinthians 4, got that? Second Corinthians. Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. There are times in life when it seems like it couldn't get any better than right now. I've had a few moments like that this summer. I told you last week about the Jeep trip in the Colorado Rockies. Before that, there was this wonderful evening, wonderful dinner and evening out in Lake Winnesquam with friends, where we had a great dinner together and then just took a boat ride, and it was just a great time. And there have been some occasions this summer where I've really connected with friends, talking about truths that matter, and laughing and being understood and understanding as well. This summer I had a chance to see my kids flourish. They're coming into their own. I got such a hoot out of my 2.5-year-old granddaughter. God is so good to give us a taste, but he means it to be just that, just a taste. A taste of the best that is to come. And he gives us a taste to make us yearn for more of what he has for us. I've been working my way through the the early chapters of 2 Corinthians this summer, and today we come to chapter 5. And the passage today, I think, is going to sound kind of foreign. Now, maybe a little bit strange to your ears at first, because Paul talks about how he would rather be at home with the Lord than here. And he also says in this passage, he also mentions coming before Jesus to give an account of our lives at the end of life. We are more naturally wired with a this world orientation, thinking at times, it doesn't get any better than this. And when we're not thinking that exactly, still we find it very hard to conceive that there's anything in this life that there's anything better than this life. So we live accordingly, preoccupied with the temporary, not giving much or any consideration to a judgment day. Well, today's text perhaps gets us to looking a bit beyond the temporary to the eternal. And to further give perspective, I would suggest that you consider going home and taking post-it notes and writing the word temporary on those post-it notes, and then sticking those post-it notes on everything in your house that's temporary. Everything in your house, everything in your garage, just post-it notes all over, right? Temporary, 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 just stick them on there. You're going to have post-it notes all over your house. Well, I'll read the text, verses 1 to 10, and then talk about it a little bit. Hear the word of God. Now, we know that if the earthly tent we live in, speaking of our bodies, we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan in our burden, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. You know, that's an interesting phrase right there. You know, we think of ourselves as alive. You know, this is life. And that says, so what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So, we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. The grass withers, the flower fades, and people come and go. The word of God stands forever. Well, does that sound a little strange to you? Who would say, like Paul here, that he or she would prefer to be out of this life to be home with the Lord, except those who are suffering terribly? Like through a terrible illness or living in poverty. Incidentally, third world Christians talk about getting out of their poverty and being with the Lord a lot. They talk about it, they sing about it. For the most part, we have it pretty good in this life. So it's understandable that we would be very comfortable with the notion of this world as our home. It's really all we know, and we love it, and for the most part, we're optimistic about it. Terrible things happen in this life, but terrible things have always happened, and life goes on. Meanwhile, look at all the beautiful sights to see, the great places to travel and explore, the fun and romance and pleasures to be had, the great food and music, the parties with friends, the great entertainment out there, all the cool stuff that we can have in our very own home, the incredible wealth in this world, the incredible technology in this world. Progress is always inevitable, we assume. We'll somehow solve the economy, we'll solve the national debt, we'll solve the healthcare conundrum. We'll figure out all the problems, make all places safe. And this world will just go on. Decade after decade, on and on, always getting better, without end. That's the assumption that so many people live by. And with it goes a this world orientation. And talk of heaven tends to be reserved for funerals. When a loved one dies, then people really need to talk about it. But until then, why bother with that? Until then, we're not just in the world, we are of it. Living as though this is as good as it gets, without much thought about our deeper purpose and why God put us here in the first place. Well, as you well know, we all know this, God's word throughout teaches that it does get better than this, incomparably better. God's word teaches us that heaven is our permanent home and that it is inconceivably more grand than this world, and that the comparably short years of this life are about God's preparing us for the life to come. Verse 5 in our text today. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose. And the purpose in context, that purpose is to be in our heavenly dwelling. It is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Now think about that. What that's saying is that the reason God put us on this earth is to prepare us for the life to come. In the uncertainties and confusing situations and disappointments that occur in our days here, God's purpose is to use them to teach us to live by faith. His purpose for us in this world is to mold and shape our characters so that we become more and more like Jesus. His purpose is to teach us how to love. He's preparing us for the future. So coming to understand that, we'll do some shifting of this world orientation. And when I say coming to understand that, I don't mean just understanding that in our heads, where we go, yeah, I guess that's right, to, yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, furthermore, God's word throughout the scriptures shoots down this common assumption that the history of the world just goes on and on indefinitely with continual progress, and that somehow we'll figure out and solve all the problems of our society. Rather, the biblical perspective is that at the end of history stands the judgment of God. This world is on the way out. Jesus will come back. A new world is to come after God has done away with everything that's bad and evil, and we will all appear before Jesus, our judge, to give an account of our lives. And God's word teaches that only those who have experienced the grace, the mercy and power of God in Christ, and have received Christ as Lord in faith, can have confidence as they anticipate this day of reckoning. That's what the scriptures teach. Now, 46%, recent polls show that 46% of the public do not believe that. Rather, they hold the view that all good people will live in heaven after they die on earth, whether they profess faith in Christ or not. That's 40%, 46% of the public. I was surprised in seeing this poll that that percentage wasn't higher. I want to encourage us to come to grips with what Jesus taught about the future judgment, because that will result in some shifting in our this world orientation. Now, as an important aside, verse 10 in our text, which we'll put up in a sec, that could conceivably create confusion, and then it makes it sound like our works have a part in how we'll be judged and how we'll be rewarded by Christ. Let's put this verse up. Then I want to talk about it for a second. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. That could be taken to, I mean, it seems as though what we do, our works, has some bearing on how we be judged, how we'll be rewarded. So I want us to bear in mind what the scriptures as a whole teach about the relationship between faith and works. There is nothing that we do to contribute to Christ's saving work on the cross except receive it as a gift. Receive Jesus as Lord of your life in faith, and forgiveness is yours. Salvation is yours. The empowering of the Spirit is yours. Now, it is just as clear in Scripture that our good deeds, our works, are part of what faith is. Faith is two things. Faith is trusting God will come through on his promises, trusting that he will do what he said he will do. Faith is also, by definition, active in love, serving others, laying our lives down for others. As that First John, I read First John 3:16, and then First John 3:16, and First John 3:16 talks about, you know, if we have the love of God in us, and we're gonna respond to the needs of others. It's a part of what faith is. So it's trusting God will keep his promises. It's also active in love. Paul writes in his epistle to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value." And this is the part that I want to emphasize. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. C.S. Lewis, I may have mentioned this metaphor before. C.S. Lewis talks about faith and works as two blades of the same scissors. I've never come across a better analogy than that. The two work together as one entity. So this all begs the question. In the Christian's case, what will Jesus be looking at as each of us stands before him at life's end? Well, the Word of God is clear that it will not be a heaven and hell judgment. That verdict is in for the Christian through the finished work of Christ on the cross. He will rather, with deep love, you know, I believe that encounter, we're going to so sense the love of God in that encounter. And with deep love for us, he's going to be looking at the depth and the strength and the quality of our faith, how we trusted him, and the ways we were active in serving him with the gifts and the talents and the passions and the resources and the life experiences that he has given us. What did we do to advance the kingdom of God? What did we do to bring people to Him? What did we do to nurture people in the faith? What did we do to serve the hurting and the downtrodden, the poor? Those are the kinds of things that He'll be looking at. And don't we all long to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," as we enter into the joy of the Lord in our eternal home. So Paul says in our text, therefore, in light of all of this, we make it our goal to please Him. See, that's the shift from the this world orientation. Our life has a new goal, a new center. So we make it our goal to please Him. That's a shift away from the shallowness of just living for the good life here. We desire to please anybody we love. And so we make it our goal to please Him who has secured eternity for us at great cost to Himself out of His deep love for us. Heavenly Father, there is such richness in this text, your word. And we're so fortunate to be able to unpack it and glean from it. Holy Spirit, apply it to our hearts with the intent to learn from it and apply it to the living of our days. Lord, open our eyes more to your purposes for our lives. Enable us to better see beyond the temporary to the best that is to come, and to live accordingly in the present. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we go to the communion table, let's stand together and recite our faith, confess our faith. The Apostles' Creed will be up on the screen.